Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of
No Need for Apologies.
I'm Monroe Martin.
I'm Derek Gaines.
We back with another episode for y'all.
Stinking old asses.
Stinking asses.
Quarantine asses. COVID
quarantine.
Asses.
I think I would continue to do this shit quarantine style. Like, I like Zoom. I don't have to leave. I'm wearing a robe.
Oh, yeah, because it is a hassle on that J train getting down to Alphabet City. Yeah. On a random whatever day we used to do it, I forgot.
Yeah. Oh, on this episode we got DJ Juanito. You may know him for Hot 97. You may know him.
Yo.
Hung out at fucking Legendary.
Or Legendary.
Legendary. I just realized that was a play on words.
Yeah, Legendary. You didn't see the title? You didn't see the flyer with the cow on it? Come on.
No, I don't. I was just like, I just heard people go, yeah, I'm going to Legendary. And I was like, oh, that's pretty dope. Like, because the Legendary comics, and then it's just fucking milk pun. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But anyway.
I think I still would have liked it if it was the Legendary Comedians.
I like it. Oh, you know, yeah. If you call yourself Great Boy, I like something called Legendary. I'm going to the Legendary show because that's where niggas who are legendary go.
Yeah. It makes it exciting
them,
to go
you
to.
Need not be there.
It what gives that experience.
What is that background? That background, is that from, that's from, what is that? Just a random ass background?
No, I just Googled Bob Ross and that shit popped up. So I figured I'd put that shit in the background.
Oh, that's cold money. That's cool money. Yeah. All right, I'm gonna start doing that. I'm gonna start doing stuff.
Just random backgrounds.
Random background. Cause I'm on Zoom every day for the morning show. So I gotta pick some funky, weird shit. Cause you know, it's not, I can't be in the studio, so it's weird around this time. So, and you can't be, you know, around people. So the it's another little, you know, another way to be creative, I guess.
Yeah.
Do absolutely. Weird shit.
Wait, are you not allowed to show your house? Is that the thing? Like, you're afraid to show how you live in because then you think people are going to come at you and shit like that?
I'm in my apartment, so it's a mess. It's always been a mess. But, like, in my living room, in my kitchen, which is all in one studio thing, it's clean as fuck. I just never want to go in there because it's boring.
Oh, I thought it's because you don't want to fuck it up. Like, when the room is clean, I don't fuck with it. Clean, I don't want to be in there because it's just going to get dirty again.
Yeah, man. I believe once the shit's already messed up, I'm gonna go back into it, mess it up more. So like, fuck it. And every week I wash the fucking sheets, so it doesn't really matter to me. So I was like, all right, well, until
every week you wash the sheets, you single or this is like your woman's doing?
Nah,
that's very rare for her.
It's been like that since I can remember. My mom taught me that shit, and then in bedroom with my pops. So it's been like shit, like wash, do laundry every week.
Word.
Yeah.
Do you hear the music at all when you do laundry? I know I do. Do you hear the music just in your brain? You start hearing drums and different combos and all kinds of cool stuff. And I don't even DJ. I just do that because I'm a psychopath. So you know,
I never really liked going to the laundry mat when I was little, but I started to love doing laundry like when I hit 20s. When I started living on my own, I was like, oh, this is amazing.
Right? He's therapeutic. Cool.
It's peaceful, and if you're in the right neighborhood, there's bitches.
There's bitches.
But I never get them at the laundromat. I always get them as bank tellers. It's always some baddies as bank tellers in my neighborhood. It's all the Spanish, Dominican, Puerto Rican, big booty girls that wear them tight pantsuits.
Oh, man, you're in heaven. You're in heaven.
There's so many tight pantsuits.
There's so many conversations you can start from that.
Yeah.
Like big old voluptuous Bank of America ass. Like when they walk in the back to arbitrarily look like they're working, like it's seven tellers back there, four of them bad. And they all walk back to the thing to act like they're eating lunch when it's your turn. And yeah, that's when I see it. The big old fry.
What's a good pickup line? What do you think is a good way to pick up a chick at a laundromat?
Oh,
like you just go up to her and like smell her panties and be like, "Are these clean?"
No,
I go, "Hey, girl."
He was. I don't know.
I like your fabric softener.
I was gonna say that.
I like your fabric softener that you put on your panties, girl.
You want some Suavitel? You want some Suavitel? Some extra drops of Suavitel and use some of that shit.
Or you go up to her and be like, "So you use Fabuloso a little bit too, huh?" You do a drop Fabuloso in the water.
Yo, you know Fabuloso got the fucking disinfectant wipes. I never saw that in my life. And
what? That's crazy.
Hold on,
that's
pull the shit
wild, bro. Yeah, pull that shit out because I don't believe it.
When Fabuloso came out with the wipes, oh yeah, that's dope.
You know, in the hood, when you got go to Bravo or C Town or Food Town,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, just a drop of Fabuloso, bro. If you really want sweet smell, just a drop. You can't put a lot. Just
hold on, let me just give it in my virtual because I'm in my room. I'm going to go fuck. Fuck it. Hold up.
Yo, good for them. Oh, like, I never think company. That's like when the hood comic go mainstream. Right. That's like when Fabuloso got wipes because we only saw it in Bodega, but now that's like wipes is like you win. Like, you bona fide when you got wipes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had to search, man. Searching for shit is fucking difficult.
Fabuloso got wipes. Ain't that crazy?
Yo, I was amazed. They got the purple one and there's a yellow one.
That's like chapstick making a spray. Like, that's amazing. The Colonel got gizzards now. And, like, Fabuloso got wipes. That's amazing. That's the mainstream shit. Which ones you use? I use the Handy Wipe cheap joints, but they smell really nice.
Oh yeah, I got something like that. I got the wet wipes, the one that come in the red packages.
Mm-hmm. The wet ones.
Yeah, the wet ones.
I never liked the title though.
I don't like that. If they're gonna wet do wet, they should have done wet title. Wipes like Cameron. Wet and wipes. I would respect that name.
Wet and wipes. Nah, wet wipes. Ones. Because wet ones. If you're in the store with an old person, and the old person said, "Go get those wipes." You're like, "What wipes? The wet ones. Go get the wet ones."
Yeah, I see why they called it that. Yeah. It's still wet ones. Like, yeah, what are we talking here? Dreams? Like, wet ones. This is weird. It's wipes. The drawer's too cracked for dumb shit. But wet wipes is like, all right.
You see in the wrong place.
Where's your headphones at, Derek? You got to put on your headphones.
My Beats headphones, they're... Hold on,
in general, because I don't think there's a delay because when he's saying something, you talk over it. So I don't know if there's a delay. Yeah, no problem.
Oh, you guys sound clear to me.
No, I'm saying for him. So that
shit. Shit, yo, it cleans everything. Oh,
I mean, Fabuloso, does it really clean or does it just smell delicious? Because I don't believe
it smells like grapes. Cleaning powers.
I use Fabuloso, but not by itself. Like, I still put...
It says lavender. It's lavender.
Lavender is the sleepy scent. That's the shit that puts you to sleep. So you want to clean with something that's going to put you to sleep, make you feel at ease. I still put bleach in my Fabuloso when I'm like using it to mop the floor. Just because I like the smell, I don't trust its power. I don't trust its ability to clean shit.
What's the other one? Swifters? I have Swifters, but I put extra, you know, Clorox on the floor just in case, too.
Oh, Swift wipes? Oh, them Swiffer Jones, them shits are a fucking gimmick. My wife loves buying them. All they do is just push the dirt around.
Yeah. So I use Clorox and fucking some other shit. Antibacterial. Right. It's hard to find certain shit. Yo, I never... So everyone has this thing by not going to like a Costco or whatnot. So I waited. I
fuck with Costco.
I do too. That's my shit. But when the fucking lines are going down the block, and I understand why, because we're in this, you know, this fucking weird shit happening in the world, and it fucking sucks.
What part of the city you live in, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, I'm in Westchester. I ain't fucking with the city. I ain't fucking with y'all. Oh, dude. I ain't fucking with y'all, man.
Oh, because I'm saying fucking Rego Park is empty. Their Costco is empty.
Where's Rego Park? What?
Rego Park is Queens.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Shit, yeah. You could go in there, get everything you need.
Yeah.
No, but see, here's the thing. In West is in the area where the Costco's is at. It's like all Suburbans, and they don't really fucking really get about survival this or just like trying to survive. So they're all hitting the mom and pops. They're skipping the mom and pops and they're going to the big chains. I'm like, why? Yeah. This doesn't make no goddamn sense.
Yeah.
I've been hitting up the fucking mom and pop shops, the Spanish bodegas. I've been coming up with gold. All
but
that
the problem with the Spanish, I don't want to just label it the Spanish spots.
You know, Poppy, with you know, Poppy, with the smashy sandwiches and yeah. the chopped cheese and shit like
that. I know, but them niggas be upcharging. Yo, one place just got fined $20,000 up the street because they were charging $5 for bottles of alcohol. They were selling loose masks and they were like upcharging on groceries. Like these motherfuckers, the slip. I'd rather go to the bigger corporations because they ain't gonna try to fuck you.
I seen a mask. No. I see the mask they were trying to sell as a bandana. Like, no, we got a new mask. No, it's a fucking bandana. No, it's a new mask. New mask.
Oh, they put like rubber bands in it to make it look like it's a.
I got one for you. Hold on.
Oh, these motherfuckers are crazy trying to sell me some shit.
They sell the makeshift masks. They sold them. They try to sell the makeshift drawings to you. No, that's crazy.
I don't know if you guys, experienced this, but I have a big ass face, so it's like to put on these new masks, it don't fit, right?
Like, yeah, my eyes got that problem.
So she like, it's like the chin sticking out, all this, and I got extra beard and shit, all this shit sticking out, and I can't find a mask to fucking cover the whole face. So the bandana and another, I put the mask and the bandana.
So you double mask, if you will. You got to cover.
Depends what mask.
Face, so you need two masks.
Shit hurt out here, man. I don't want a motherfucker to be sneezing and this shit catch the like the trim of my beard and fucking like fuck got me right in, man.
It's gonna get you, dude.
Hanging there like the corona hanging your beard for a couple because your beard ain't covered up.
Look at this shit.
What the fuck is that?
Exactly. Look at
that. Is that a sock?
So Target is selling daily disposable masks by Canvas Bella, a t-shirt company, and it's just a ripped up t-shirt with holes in it.
Put it on.
Oh, shit. I can't.
Yo, I can make that with my sock.
Yo, this Wait. Looks like a fucking sock.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
That's a sock. It don't even cover your nose all the way. Oh, okay.
Oh, man. So, yo, so rest in peace to Shanks. So, hit. They released some like merch for his family, stuff like that. So they're trying to sell some stuff, which is great.
Yeah.
So when they sent me a version of the mask, I thought, dope, it's crazy. I put that shit on, it don't cover my whole face. It's meant for a small face. So I figured, like, yo, am I alone with this fucking problem? No, but it's other people who has a big ass face and just gotta deal with that shit. Oh, man.
You the nigga that got like an 8.5 size fitted like that.
Yeah.
Oh,
dude, they gotta go to the back and get the nigga fitted. They're like, yo, get the ladder, yo. Megamind just came in this bitch.
Megamind, mastermind, Megamind. His hat is in the back with all the towels. The nigga's hat in the back with the towels.
When I used to work at a sneaker store, I never understood. I was like, why do we got these big ass hats? And then you see the niggas walk in and they're like, yo, you got 8.5. You got an 8.75. Like 8.75. Yo,
this is a struggle out here, man.
Yo.
Everything.
Nigga, 8.75 is property. That's not even a head no more. You put an apartment on 8.75.
It's a sad day for us big ass head motherfuckers.
God damn.
Yo, all right. So, Billy June said you came up under Funk Flex and Cypher Sounds. We know Cypher Sounds is a comic, beloved. We've been trying to get him on his goddamn podcast, but the nigga.
Yeah, yo, Cypher ain't got shit to do, man. He's been running in the morning.
He just did a show.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he'll do something else and that's it. Like, he ain't got shit to do. He should be doing shit like this, man.
Hard work.
He got no shows left. He's trying to get a show.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
I'm going to hit his punk ass up. Yo, Sife.
Yeah, no.
What? I love
Sife and just experience. So, understand what Sife wanted to do at that particular moment when he wanted to switch and transition from a DJ and comedian, even though he still DJs now, but.
Yeah.
That moment years ago and seeing him, like, he would do this show down in, like, on Essex and Riverton. There was like a comedy show that's no longer there. And then he would do these one-off monthlies at the show called The Comics, or this
Don't Get Gassed, John.
Don't get gassed.
So it was me, another DJ friend named DJ Drewski, and a couple other guys who were helping Sife, and it was just like be production people helping them out
Yeah.
So seeing that transition and understanding what you and a lot of comedians go through is like, it's kind of like a DJ. Like, we got to feel the crowd and we're only good as our last performance. Otherwise, we can't get more bookings, X, Y, Z. So from that to understand, you know, the regular folks might see like the biggest stars on TV, but we understand where it comes from or what, you know, how you guys grind and really put on it. And, you know, and same thing for DJs, because we might not have the same sets every night.
Yeah.
Every club is different. Like, you guys are wanting to do the same jokes every night. You guys are trying new material like us. We're just trying to try new mixes and blends and shit like that. Just try to please.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
DJing is a hard, like, not, it's an expensive thing to kind of take up and get passionate about, right? Because when you're starting off, you have to buy turntables and you have to buy the other equipment. Like, how'd you go about even, like, saving up to get that shit? Like, where did the passion start?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, like, what was that story? Let's hear DJ Juanito's origin story.
Man, I'm showing my age. I was doing a book report of, I always liked music, right? My brothers was like, one of my brothers wanted to be a producer. So he met RZA at a certain age and he was trying to do a sound like the Grave Diggers. And I learned from watching my brother buying mad equipment in the apartment, like all the tape decks and recording the studio. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then whatnot. But I always liked music because he liked music. And then seeing so many things happen because of music around my life. Eventually, you know, I quit my full-time scholarship at FIT to go to a community college for radio. So I knew radio was in.
What were you doing at FIT? Like, isn't it? It's a
what, you FIT? Tony Stark, nigga?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Huh? What, you building machines? No, are you in robotics?
I was doing menswear design because I wanted to be a fashion designer. I felt like at the time, I didn't like Nietzsche. I didn't like all the academic shit. I thought that shit was trash. I'm like, there's better shit that could be out there for motherfuckers who want to get fly and shit.
And both of them were trash, nigga. Fucking and Nietzsche.
I never liked
Fubu. Never made sense to me.
Fubu never made sense to me. I just feel like I get it. They just hustlers. I get it. But it just wasn't meant for me for just, you know.
Nigga, that was all former Mills premiere shit. That was like former Mills floor.
Yeah.
Nietzsche, Fubu, that was like the floor of former Mills.
Academics like, never made jeans to fit people unless you were like shaped like a stick figure where you didn't have no kneecaps. Like,
dude. Yeah, academics always ripped on me. Every pair I had ripped.
Academics, you could not do shit in that. But so you transitioned from fashion into
and that was
music.
Like, that was like, two, like 1999, 2000, and then like. At college, I learned how to DJ. Like an intern of Flex was going to my college.
Yeah.
He was already doing stuff with Flex at the radio station. He was already, and I was like privy to what he was doing and just learning, asking what you guys do with this and this and that.
Yeah.
So then there was turntables at the college station, at the college I went to, and I started practicing there. I didn't leave. I literally slept at this college radio station 24 hours every week since I was there, smashed joints in the production room because it was like, all right, if I'm Olivia, let me just act like I'm Olivia.
That is hilarious. You bringing bitches back. You like,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, I ain't supposed to be here, but let me go ahead and just get some pussy real quick.
Good origin story so far. I'm in. Keep going.
Yeah. I love this origin story.
And then I don't know what would be the equivalent to this, but like, there would be people inside the radio station that will have like, you know, knowledge of radio itself, like an historian of radio, of news radio, of ABC News. So I don't know what would be the equivalent of a comedian being to geek out on, let's say you met your icon or you met someone that did this type of TV shows. You were just like, fuck, ask mad questions. So I met someone like that.
Yeah.
So I was always interested in fucking the radio and technology as far as that. So that was just the geek in me. And Sipes like that too.
Yeah.
He's really nerdy in that aspect too. So meeting people along the way. Anyway,
what was your like favorite? Like, so you're coming up, you got this internship, you fucking bitches in the studio,
and then my first interview in college radio was Nas.
Oh wow!
Wow!
So I was like, yo, if I'm hustling just to do whatever bullshit I'm doing, and I land a 5-minute interview with Nas, and this is when he was smashing Khalees.
And so I got Godson Nas.
Yeah, so that album, I interviewed, and we were all like in the studio and like in the Sony office, and they would like, they had like DJs there, they had like press there, whatever. So, and then they had another room for college DJs. So I was in that room, and then Khalees was walking around. I'm like, oh shit. And I knew something about that day to take pictures. And that day, I remember it was like 2002.
Yeah. Yeah.
Around that time. And I remember that specific day. So it was December 6th or something like that. Yeah. I went to go interview him, met Khalees, and I knew I brought my Polaroid camera. So I bought it, took it, took two pictures, and I still got the pictures to this day. I got to find it. And when I came home, my apartment got robbed. Mm. Where me, my mom, my brother lived. And I go front, my brother robbed me because he was a fucking drug dealer because he needed some extra money. So he decided to rob. But the only thing he robbed was my fucking PS2. And you know, PS2 is life for motherfuckers.
Yeah, but the resale value used, what yeah. You gonna, yeah, it right. Ain't shit.
Right, you know what I'm saying? You know,
you. Yeah. A dime bag?
Yo. But it, like I had some money stashed away, so me and him always had a rift between, my brother, me and him always had a rift, so it's like,
yeah. Wait.
Question, DJ, did he at least take some games?
No, he took everything. The TV, good. The PST, he took, yeah, he took...
Good for him. That nigga had help, or y'all were gone for a long time.
I don't know what he did, man, because it was I was gone for at least the whole day.
Yeah, that's okay. Enough time. You only need like at least like I would say 20 minutes to get the TV to the car, then the game, to make sure you got all the wires.
Oh man, yeah.
Because
yeah.
There wasn't no HDMI cords back there with the PS2, was it? It was still the auxiliary joint. It was still like the red, yellow, black cord.
Yep. Yeah, fucking. And then you can still play DVDs on it. I don't mm-hmm. know if they can still do it now. I haven't yeah. had a gaming system since then. So yeah. I'm traumatized for not having a gaming system since then because that motherfucker stole all my shit. It's yeah. just that I've yet to play any video games.
You got PS2 TD.
Yeah. PS.
Yeah, man.
PS2 TD.
Yeah, something like that. Fuck it, man.
Every time you walk past the PlayStation, you're like, they're going to take it from me. He's going to take everything. Everything. He took my Spiral the Dragon.
Crazy.
And my Crash Bandicoot.
I hate that motherfucker for so long.
My Ratchet and Clank. Up your arsenal came out around that time.
Yeah. I remember
that day because Elise smells so fucking good, and I gave absolutely. Him like an extra hug. I'm like,
probably damn.
Yeah, I'm like. Good one, Nas. That was a good one.
What she smell like? I feel like she smelled like a Yankee candle, but like a high end John. Like, right? Yeah. Like, just like she's just, it's just coming off of her. Probably not now because don't she live in like another country?
Yeah, she don't change anymore. She's like a farmer now.
But she's on TV though. She's on like a Netflix show. I forgot what it is. She's on a Netflix.
She's been making weed sandwiches and shit, right? She's been making weed food.
Don't you make
weed brownies and sandwiches and like weed soda, all that shit? Like it's some weird light skin shit she do now. Like it's just weed in a farm and she makes milkshakes with weed in it.
That's all rich people do. Like where they get money? They're like, maybe I'll start selling weed.
Oh, right.
It's just the fad to get into. It's like the business while you at home. It's like make money while you sleep. Because when you grown up.
Yeah, it should be crazy. Should be crazy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, she's still on TV. She just did Unmasked earlier this year. The Unmasked Singer or whatever it is. Masked Singer.
I remember when Wayne did it. When Wayne took his mask off, he still like he was wearing a mask. It was pretty bad, bro. I was like, damn, Wayne.
All right, go ahead. So we cut you off.
Shit, I don't remember. So anyway, learning from that point, from like doing small stuff like that, and then I was like, oh, maybe there is something. Maybe there is. And then in the middle of doing all the stuff with college radio, I was working with my dad because we had a family business. We had a family restaurant. And he ran for like at least 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it was either continuing to make money or not make money in radio or doing that because there's no money in radio as you start.
Yeah.
There's no real money till you get to like all the management and higher management or top talent.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of years figuring out if I really want this and grunting it out. And to a point where I would see one of my boys' crib in Soundview just to be close to the city because I'm from Westchester. I'd have a car at the time. So I was like, well, he's always in the record labels, so I could just go crash with him and sleep countless nights mad awkward because he had a small ass apartment. But I was like, fuck it. I got to figure a way to get be in the city more and not spend as much money. So that was a fucking hustle right there.
Yeah.
And then 2003, I got a call because I applied for an internship at Hot. And they're like, all right, come in. I was like, oh, is that easy? It felt it was easy, but it wasn't. It was just, you know, one of those weird things. Boom, got it. Instead of getting the internship, I got hired as a street team. So I did all the poster boards. I did all these the vents, drove the vans around.
Yeah.
And then since then, I met, like, the most fucking amazing scientists, like, mad scientist type people, like Flex, Red Alert, Mrs. Ooh. C, Enough, like, DJs that just, who took something organically and try to push that culture forward, like DJing and music, and just try to help.
The top dogs, right?
It was just understanding that. And, you know, and me growing up, I was always a fan of watching Video Music Box.
Yeah, same.
And I was watching like these characters on this you know this cable access show and see like Rack McDaniels interview all these artists and celebs and like that was it was just to me that was amazing and I felt like how do I contribute that without you know being like true to myself and not overreach and not do something like fucking trendy throughout the years and thank God I never did I was never that type of person to be a fucking fad or follow any trend or just be true to me and I'll figure it out and be uniquely my own. And it was tough. It was tough because, you know, that time there wasn't that many Spanish minorities. Like you won't ever hear of a popular Peruvian, a popular Colombian, a popular Mexican until other guys broke barriers like Enough. Yeah. Like Camilo, Angie Martinez, like you would see that over the years, but it was sprinkled in. So it was, it was a learning factor.
Dope.
Yeah.
So what is your, I am like, what's your goal? Cause you're naming all these heavy hitters. What's your, like, what is the end goal for you? Like what?
I don't think it ever,
not the end goal, but what's the so what's the thing that you're striving for at this point? Because I see you got the podcast. I see that you're really busy. You tour with freaking, what is it?
Doom, right?
Bishop Nehru, fucking MF Doom, like all that stuff.
I seen MF Doom without the mask, and I was blown the fuck away. I was like, oh.
Wow.
What does this nigga look like?
I can't tell you that.
You can't tell him. You got his MF. You can't.
I mean, he black. He black from the hood. Like, he's, you know, he's from out here.
Yeah.
He had a Knicks jersey when I met him, so I was like, "Oh shit!" The next night I saw him. We were performing at the same venue.
Yeah,
I bought my Knicks jersey because I had it on tour. And he's like, "Oh shit, you bought the Mason out?" I was like, "Yeah." He had like a Patrick Ewing jersey.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
So I was like, "Oh, he really loves New York. He misses it, but he just, you know, he can't be out in the States because he's wild."
Wasn't that Biggie song about Anthony Mason, or who was it about? Not Anthony Mason. Who was that Biggie song?
I got a story tell. Yeah,
Anthony story tell. It was about Anthony Mason.
Yeah. Was it? Yeah, thanks.
That's what I heard.
That's the word on the street. But you're in the industry, so you would know. You would know more than we do.
I mean, I heard that story come more relevant when I watching Dan Levitard's show on ESPN. Mm-hmm. Fuck is called Highly Questionable. Him and his pops, the Spanish pops.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I forgot. I think Fat Joe leaked it, which is crazy. Who would have thought Fat Joe would leak that?
Yeah.
About Anthony Mason.
God damn.
I don't think he's. You think he's Anthony Mason?
I don't know.
I thought it was John Starks.
It can't be. John Starks don't play that shit.
He would have probably said would have came up.
Yo, John Starks
is out here now.
John Starks used to be one of my favorite players, and it's like weird because people are like, that's an obscure player to choose to be your favorite. Like, why is he your favorite? I was like, the motherfucker went hard, and I just like growing up, he had that like good, clean background, right?
John Starks.
Yeah, he's a country boy, right?
John Starks was a country boy. He was like, he didn't really like playing to the politics of sport. He just wanted to play. He had he was clean cut, all that shit. And I was like, I fucks with him. And he didn't take no shit.
He didn't take no shit.
He didn't take no shit.
Oh, shit.
I always felt like he was on the wrong team though.
Who, Starks? Yeah, I think so. Or at least he need a better shooting coach, because whoever coached him in game seven told him not to fucking stop shooting, because he fucked up the whole finals.
Yes.
I'm so sorry for y'all, man.
Shut up, man. Stop. Why you got to bring shit up, man?
Because I was watching The Last Dance, every time Patrick had a shot, Jordan was like, nope. Nope. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Yo, I didn't think that Pittman was doing all those things. He was like the crybaby of the team. Like he didn't want to help the team when Jordan wasn't there. His rib or his fucking he had sick.
I mean, a back problem is the legit issue. Like try to sit down with a back problem. Like Derek sneezed and threw out his back. I fucked up my back. Like when you have back issues, you don't want to do shit. You like fuck the world, fuck your dreams, a back problem is a deal breaker. I would,
nigga, that's like you getting carpal tunnel before the concert.
Yeah,
your hands all like this. You can't.
He's like throwing the sets up. He's throwing this like nah. I just can't.
His hands. He got rudimentary arthritis, a rheumatoid.
Rudimentary arthritis.
Rudimentary. Oh my God.
Rheumatoid.
Rheumatoid
is just like
arthritis.
Yeah, it just hurts for no reason. It's like a muscular thing. Yeah.
I think going back to the goal always was to DJ on the radio to able to do a show, mm-hmm. And then be on a morning show and then able to produce a morning show. So I think those I was able to check off. There's certain levels I wasn't able to get to far as like an executive producer, but I'm producing the show with a great team that I'm learning a lot from, that I'm taking that to another phase in my life that I can't really say right now. But when I do, I'll let you guys know. But it's like the goal is it was always involving. I thought DJing was the only thing. No, because then technology came into effect. Oh, there's more than just being a DJ.
Yeah.
I think if I'm able to impact all artists and let them know what it is to be an artist and help them grow, that's for me, that's satisfying. And for me, that's helping people just get into where they need to be better than I am. Cause I know I'm at a certain level, but if I can help someone be better than me and surpass, that's a gift, man. And your legacy lives on more and more and more.
Yeah.
I just think that's more value to it. It's more enjoyment. And
absolutely. I agree with that. And I feel like when people are selfish, they stunt their growth. They may feel like they're moving forward, but they're not. And when you choose to help people altruistically, like without expecting anything in return, that's when I think you move forward and the fruits never stop. So
I see. I learned a lot through rewatching a lot of Kobe interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, The Last Dance from Jordan, and understanding what it took to be that animal instinct. Like you could be that, and then you could help people.
Yeah,
and learning a lot of what Kobe did and said when he passed. I'm like, and just taking a page of what he did, and just implying to that shit this year. And you know, it sucks that he's gone, because then I wouldn't really dive deep into Kobe's history or his interviews. But there's a lot of shit, and I really thought this year with this pandemic, and there's a lot of gifts I've got this year that I never thought I would have gotten, and a lot of bad shit has happened. So it's like this year has been a fucked up year that I wish that we could just skip it and go to next year and just, you know, start off fresh and everyone here. But, you know, in a couple of months or a year, whenever this shit ends, we ain't going to be in the same space or ain't going to be normal. It's just going to be a new way of living and just, you know, because I really want to go to a comedy show so bad and see, you know, I seen you guys perform. So it's like, I want to go back to laughter and we laugh in this shit because we know this shit is funny. We know this shit's like silly to us in the spec of, you know, like we want to go back to that element, but this shit's been fuck with me all day. I ain't gonna front. This shit's been the worst. And I learned not to be a downer in certain situations, especially in radio. Here's one quote that I learned about myself. Like learning that my best friend in life passed away during COVID. Damn. And learning how to figure and navigate how to put on and for a show that's always you know, you have to perform, you have to put on entertain. So it's like, that's another mind fuck that I learned this year that I didn't have 10 years ago. And I was like, oh, all right. And learning and fucking putting myself on timeout and meditating, you know, and learning new shit about myself. I just bought a bike like a week ago. Now I'm like,
I'm on your Instagram right now. What type of bike did you get?
Oh man, I gotta tell you. So I went to this bike shop and I was doing all this research that I could have done on big guys who are just like peak 500, 300 weight to buy a bike. So I was looking at all these bikes and they're expensive. They're like 2,000, 3,000. I'm like, fuck, man, I lose more weight. Yeah. But there was this bike that I saw and it was like 600 and it was a 2020 version of it. Like, oh, maybe I should get this bike. So then I went to the shop, they had it, and then I was like, well, do you have another bike that's kind of like supports my back? So it's more like a cruiser, so I could just, you know, ride. Like, sure. They bought another bike. It's a teal bike and it looked kind of cool. And I'm not too privy on bike frames and male sex or feet.
Yeah.
Point is, the motherfucker sold me a female bike.
Yeah, because the male bike bar is straight and a female bar drops down so they don't
Crazy part. Yeah. If it's the male, it doesn't make sense to have them. Doesn't make sense. The male, there's a bar in between the male's jock right there. Like,
I know, it doesn't make sense at all.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah. You're trying to get off and it's like, oh, like it doesn't make sense to me. Then I looked at it, yo. And I thought, oh, it's a unisex bike. You'll be fine. I'm like, all right, cool. Fuck it. And I wasn't thinking it's a female bike. I thought, oh, teal. Oh, shit, I got some sneakers to match that. Yeah, I'm cool.
So funny. You thinking about the sneaks to match the bike.
Yeah.
Hilarious. You're like, all right, I can fuck them up in the park with these joints. I'll pull up with the teal Air Maxes.
And the seat was nice and cushy. I'm like, oh, this is a perfect bike. I'm good.
I'm trying to find the damn bike. You just got pictures of you riding the bike. You got videos of you riding a bike. I can't see the actual bike. I need to see this joint.
Hold on. I have it in my pictures because I definitely put that in.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's the bike. But that should look like a city bike.
Hold on. Sorry.
A little bit. Yeah, the frame of it does look like a city bike.
About this?
Yo, I swear to God, that's what my wife's bikes look like. I promise you not. My wife bike is that bike. It's not that brand. It's not that brand, but it's it's the white bike. Her bike is white and like a different color.
Juanito got a white bike.
No, white shut bike. Up, man. Well, I went back the next day and I got me a different kind of bike of all black matte. What they call it, black metal or matte teal or whatever the fuck they call it.
Matt,
what brand did you go with? Because I wish I would have, because I ride and I have a bike for my size. I have the brand is called Giant and they're expensive bikes, but I got it 2016. I got it for like $570.
Yeah, my shit was like $650 with all the insurance and fucking the helmet. I got the helmet. I got the fucking some other shit I got. I forgot what it was. But yeah, I got this new black bike. It's fucking look like a Batman and Robin type shit. So that one I'm pretty happy about. But when I rode it, man, I got ragged on so bad. It's like, yo, you got a girl's bike, man. What the fuck? What's wrong with you? I'm like,
that shit is hilarious, though. It like, I'm looking at it. I'm like, if I'd have seen you pull up with that shit, I would have laughed too.
I wish I had it just because I think it's funny. Just like, I don't know shit about bikes and I should have fucking read up on male and female, but me thinking like if it's not pink, then it's not a, you know, a woman's bike. But I don't know if it's frames about that shit.
And I think I'm looking at it behind you. I'm just dissecting that shit.
Oh shit.
Yeah, that shit is hilarious.
Yeah, but
that dip for me is hilarious.
Yeah, the dip in it makes it look like it's curving its back. Yeah, it's a nice bike.
But for random people to know that knowledge, though, like I get it. Like if I didn't know shit about bikes, I would get that bike because I fuck with the color, and I'll just ride out. And if somebody goes, "Yo, it's a girl's bike," I'm like, "Yeah, it's my lady's. I'm borrowing it," and I was just stuck to a story and kept riding the fucking bike.
Yo, the guy was like Juan at this bike shop called Danny's Cycles. Like, they have a bunch of them around the city and whatnot. He was like, yeah, a lot of bikes coming out more in the next couple of years. They're going to be more unisex. I was like, what does that mean? Like, you just like no male and female? Like, nah, they want to be more like gender biased, but they don't want to, you know, offend anyone. I'm like, it's a fucking bike, man. Dude. I don't understand. It's a bike. Just give me a bike.
No, but that's what you happen when that's what happens when everybody's rights are important. Everybody's rights are important. Everybody is represented. So now you need unisex bikes.
But what makes that curve a female? It doesn't make sense. Like that particular thing, it looks like a city bike to me.
It definitely does look like a city bike. I don't know what the importance is because I agree with you because I'm like a dude.
That's so funny.
Like, I've gotten close to hitting my shit on that bar that goes straight across when you just jump off it randomly.
Yeah.
I would rather have a bike like that because I can just pull over I can pull up my feet and then I'm done. But I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, maybe so they don't like smash their vagina bone on the thing.
I don't know.
Wait a minute. How would they not eat? Well, yeah, I guess because it's lower. So yeah. I see what you're saying. So if they fall,
maybe because they got little legs. Maybe because
there's some other bikes that has that slant, but it's considered a man's bike. But it's like one of those BMX bikes. So they all have like it's a little small slanter, but it's not all the way dead.
Yeah, it comes from like the middle of the rod and it goes up. I see those. I think those are dope.
I was like, yo, if it's not doesn't have a fucking another two wheels on it, like a tricycle, or it's not pink or a nice feminine color, like what's the difference? I don't know.
How often you ride?
I just got it like rode it twice so far since the week.
Wait, yeah. You got it last week, you said?
Yes, over the weekend on Saturday. I got it on Saturday. Then I went for the exchange on Sunday, but I rode on both days on two different the blue bike I rode on Saturday, the black bike I rode on Sunday.
Are you tracking your shit? Are you tracking your rides and stuff?
Yeah, I'm learning that shit. So, yeah, I'm learning that shit. How to fucking track it because I'm not too savvy, even though the next job I'm going to be, it's a fucking savvy job, like far as technology. So I'm learning a lot through that shit. But I'm fucking learning this Weight Watcher shit. So I dropped like 10, 11 pounds.
So I'm like, okay.
Yeah, so this is a whole new fucking wave. I was getting used to being a nice, plump, chubby, extra obese guy. But now I'm like,
Extra obese.
According to uni or UMI chart, I'm an extra obese motherfucker.
Yeah, they say extra. They were like, all right, look, come with us over here. This is the section you are in. They just unfold another part of the sheet. Just flips out like that.
Kind of extra obese.
But you said 300. Like, I was close to 300.
The extra obese, the extra extreme obese, it's at past 210. So once you're past 210, and it goes by a height. Like, if you're.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'11.
How much you weigh?
I'm at right now 297.
At 5'11? Okay.
I wouldn't say you extra obese.
Man, shut up, man. What are you talking about?
Yo, I'm just saying, man, don't let your doctor fucking get your feelings hurt, yo.
No, I didn't care about the chart. I was like, all right, well, I've been at 239 before like the last 5 years, so I know I could go back to that easy.
Yeah.
It's just fucking eating not eating crazy at night.
Oh, at night, nighttime eating is a bitch, yo.
Especially snacking. Yeah. Late night snacks is tough, man.
Bitch.
Yo, get yourself some hummus.
Ooh,
get yourself, a hummus with some cucumbers and some olives. You can snack on that shit. Very little calories. Like, get yourself some cotton candy grapes, yo. You know, you fuck with cotton candy grapes?
I don't know what that is, but I got some grapes.
Yeah, no, Mongo got all the snacks.
Bigger. Because I live in Jackson Heights with all the immigrants and shit. You know, immigrants. Yeah. I love it. Hold on.
Y'all keep talking.
Jackson Heights got some dope fucking Puerto Rican, Cuban, and Mexican trucks on the streets.
I've always marveled at snacks in bodegas, especially Jackson Heights area. Because I don't know if you know, but like Calypso started this whole let's add a fruit to a fruit drink phenomenon. Like, it was Calypso that had, like, blueberry lemonade, watermelon, papaya lemonade. So he was like, oh, the sugar that they put
in fucking... I'm telling you, these are real. These are grapes that taste like cotton candy. I don't know if them shits are genetically modified, but nigga, they go in. Yo, thank you, Brian. Cotton candy grapes are fucking delicious.
Yo, Brian sounds like God. Like, those are delicious. I'm like, what?
Delicious.
I'm like, I get that occasionally.
I'm like, yo, what happened?
That's so funny. No, I agree. You. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hope you're tan or black. If you're white.
No, I'm pretty white. You got a pretty little white guy.
Oh man. Here, I guess I'll just show you.
Jesus, yeah.
I'm joking. I know you look like.
And he looks like Jesus. He looks like Jesus right now.
Jesus and Rick Rubin.
Yeah. Like an anorexic Action Bronson.
Hilarious.
Yo.
Oh, no.
Take these Jones, freeze them. They're good.
I freeze all my fruits. Like the berries, the bananas, except for the oranges. Those I don't think. Everything else, except for the grapes too. But like, I freeze that shit, especially now, freezing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pause. I'm buying mad like turkey meat. Because in the Weight Watchers app is 0 points, so I'll be buying like mad turkey meats and fucking.
I know, but the fact you said pause before you said turkey meat, yo, mad pause, but I fucked with turkey meat, yo.
Yeah, man, that's so funny.
Oh man, wish you luck on the weight loss journey. This shit ain't easy, but look.
Man, y'all skinny, man. Man. Shut up, man. Y'all skinny as hell.
Nigga, I'm like 265. Derek's skinny.
Y'all fake skinny.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all fake skinny. All right.
I'm getting my shit back on. My running sneaks came in today. Got some running sneaks.
There you go.
Asics. What are you, 45?
Hey, if you know anything about running, Derek, you should definitely get Asics. Asics are the running shoe. Yeah.
It's comfortable on your feet. That's right.
I don't run outside. Yeah. I don't run at all.
This is pretty good. I've been trying to like figure out. So like probably since December, the last time I did anything as far as podcast wise, like post anything, because I started out with a coworker of mine. He left.
Yeah.
Then I brought in this guy named Dan, who you guys know him as Billy June or Nervous.
You got too many names. Billy June, names. Nervous.
Nervous, Dan.
Dan.
So many names, right? So like then he left because he had some other jobs. So I'm like by myself. So then when they left, that's when I start interviewing all like the models, the girls, the porn stars. They're like, y'all left in the worst time.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh shit. Yeah. But then I was like, all right, I got bored because it was like, it wasn't going anywhere. It wasn't going where I wanted to go. There was no help.
Mm-hmm.
So I left that shit. And then in this quarantine madness, Billy June told me that he don't have his job anymore. I was like, damn, that's fucked up.
He called everybody.
Oh, did he?
Yo, I don't got no job, man, so I'm available.
I was
like, okay.
He's like,
the exact same thing.
He's asking for the stimulus package from everyone else?
Mm-hmm.
This guy. So then I was like, all right, so what do you want to do? You want to do this podcast? So I was like, all right, let's restart this podcast that we started years ago. So the name of the podcast called Feed the Meter was a spinoff of what Cypher and Roseburg had their own podcast called Juan Epp.
Mm-hmm. I know Juan Epp.
So we were like, how can we name our podcast different from everyone else? We're like, well, let's label it what we actually really did if we're going to call it a spinoff. It has to make sense to what, you know, it relates to.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my other co-host at the time, Hip Hop Mike, he was like, well, what did you do during Juan Epp that year can relate to it? I'm like, well, I produced the first 2 years of it because I was recording every session. And at times I would just go and feed Rosenberg's and Sykes meter at the time. So when my meter's up, I gotta go downstairs. Like, all right, I'll go downstairs and feed that meter. Mm-hmm. Mike's like, yo, shit, me too. I would go downstairs and, you know, we're right by Greenwich area. So we're like, all right, let's fucking do that shit. We'll call it that. I was like, oh, bet. So we did that for like a year or so, 2 years and whatever, whatnot. He left because he started doing overnights on the radio station, and I was still producing on the morning show. So the time difference fucked us up because we didn't have enough time to do it. And okay. It makes sense. So then we got Billy June to help out. He faded because he never talked about anything. He's always nervous to talk. So I was like, you got to talk on a podcast, bro. Like, you got to tell these stories. And you guys might not know, but I know Billy's his history more than probably a lot of people that deal with him in comedy than anyone else. And other radio guys, too, because his dad is a dope radio producer. He produced for Isaac Hayes. Yeah. So I was like, yo, you should start telling those stories because that's really true to you. Because, like, you low key, you know, you're white, but you really in black culture. Like,
yeah,
you took pictures with Isaac Hayes. You were in the studio when a lot of Kiss FM moments. So it's like, you're still young, but you were still around this culture that you're just not really sharing. That's why you're so music savvy. He said, I don't understand. I'm like, yo, man, just get out the suburban mind and focus on the music and you'll get where you want to get to.
Man.
So he has these dope stories. He has one story when he was driving around working for Love and Hip Hop, and he was driving Young Jock around. And something with Young Jock, he was driving around and Young Jock was asking for socks or some shit. Like, he needed some socks for the show. I was like, so they drove around the whole fucking city about socks. Like, yo, tell those stories. Those are fucking dope. No one cares about Young Jock, but Young Jock looking for socks, that's fucking funny. Just tell the story as it is.
Yeah.
The only thing is, he's not a comedian. He's not funny. So I'm like, well, tell it the way you tell it, and the nervousness out of you telling the story will be funny.
Yeah. He does stuff like that on his Instagram now.
Yeah, the stories he's doing, that's...
Yeah.
And all those stories is true. So, like, him going up and then it ends at the end, that's just part of the bit. So
yeah,
I was like, you get radio bits, you get comedy bits, just put it together. You don't think yourself as a comedian, just think of just you think it's funny and quirky and it'll work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you're bringing Feed the Meter back.
Yeah, we're working on a couple of things. I learned through a lot of like stuff that Sive used to do and watch endless amount of TV of years of growing up and, you know, being around Sive and radio geniuses and dealing with stuff. So radio funny comedy is different from what you guys actually do. Mm-hmm. And I think people who are naturally funny come out naturally. So my role on the morning show lately has been, since I'm not there actually, you know, producing anything, is, you know, help what I can at home, but then being and try to do my radio bit. So the radio bit is called DJ John, which was a rip of my real name, but my DJ name is Juanito, but my real name is John. So like, they always make fun of me. Like, you know, you always, motherfuckers always try to call your name out by calling you by your last name. Like, yo, why you calling my last name? Like, no one wants to hear that. Or they call you by your real name, but even though you're like, you know, you're a comedian and you have your comedian name, but if someone knows your real name, they call you by your real name. I'm like, yo, man, what are you doing? Like, so they're trying to riff. So that became a thing. And the character is just like fucking quirky and fucking, you know, wild and outlandish and shit like that. So it's been interesting to try to do that character every day because it's like, never know. So I prep by not prepping for it. Yeah, like, if I prep more, try to be this, you know, come with a liner or come with this, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
So it's just like, fuck it. Or whatever.
There's a muscle in as much as I like to prepare, I also like not preparing because the muscle of going off the top and being on the spot is a lot more impressive to me. Like when you can just fucking be in that moment and keep that shit going up. Like,
I can never retell the same story. It's like a joke I might have said, but I can never tell it correctly because I'm not trying to perfect it or try to be a comedian or not try to repeat that. So, but one of the things I've mentioned recently that I do say really in real life, like I'll confuse certain names because of how they sound, but they are totally two different things. So they were talking about like, yo, so what? You know, they ask me, what's going on with you? What's happening? Like, well, you know, I'm just trying to dodge my neighbor because he's been coughing.
Yeah.
Fucking this motherfucker got COVID. He has to have COVID. He's been coughing crazy. He's like, so what have you been doing? Like, oh, well, I fucking left a letter on his front door. Then if you need help, I'll call the ambulance. But usually I'll dodge them by going out the window and I'm going down through the escalator. They're like, you have an escalator? Like, no. I confused escalator with the fire escape because escape and escalator sound the same. And I didn't realize what I said in the moment.
That's so hilarious because I was like, wait, what? You got a fucking escalator? Yeah.
Right.
How the fuck that happened?
I do that all the time. I'm confused because they sound the same and I'm not really, I didn't care in the moment how they...
The fire escape escalator. Yeah, I can see.
Yeah, I went down the fire escalator. Like, fire damn, escalator. We got a mansion, yo. Does it move a lot quicker than a regular escalator?
No.
Like, you're going to get burnt up standing there. You're going to get burnt up.
Yo, I'm like on your IG now. You interview Booker T real quick at the Hall of Fame. You fuck with wrestling or no?
Oh, do I? Yeah, hold on.
Yeah. Woo! That's what I'm talking about. You see that WWE championship belt back there? It's little.
I respect that.
But I don't fuck around, yo. It's little, but I don't fuck around. My wife wanted to give me the big one, but that shit was like $300. And I was like, if you spend $300 on a fucking souvenir, I got to divorce you. I have to leave. You're irresponsible.
Wait, do you? So I'm running different situation with my lady friend, and she's like, she wants me to buy the expensive shit for her, and she's my best friend for life. So like,
yeah.
But when it's time for you to buy me shit, she's like, oh, I got you this nice small $20 shit. I'm like, yo, I want a fucking expensive ass TV or something. Like, give me something.
It goes back and forth.
You watch 40 Day Nanny and Fiance?
I got to get back into it. The last episode I seen was when the Dominican dude beat the brother up and was tossing the family members around. You remember that shit?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was kicking ass, yo.
Right now, they got a short dude with no neck kicking it to a Filipino girl. And he goes to the Philippines, but meanwhile, he has no neck and he's trying to kick game. And she's like, I ain't trying to touch you. Dude, meanwhile, he's spending mad money. It's hysterical.
He got a problem. I don't watch the show. So he's got like a problem.
Yeah, it has to be something. You got no fucking neck.
Find a bifida.
A neck no bifida.
But he turns his whole body turns. I'm like, oh, I feel bad for this dude.
I seen the clips. I'm gonna start getting back into that show, Derek. If you got the time, I think you get into it. That shit is hilarious. There was like an episode where this African dude hooked up with like this white lady, like a Karen. He took it up with a Karen.
She nasty.
And like, she's nasty looking,
haggardly. Okay,
yo.
And he's gold digging her. I can guarantee just for the visa.
Oh, Africans don't give a fuck. They be like, look, I eat dirt. I can go down on the fucking old ass disgusted white lady for some money.
Give me a Karen real quick.
Yeah.
Better that than a dirt hut. Yep. I'll take this white woman over a dirt hut.
Yep. Be like, look, it's warm, it's wet, and it works. That's all that matters. WWW. The three W's of survival. Yo.
Oh my God.
How come there are more dudes too? Like, because like when I'm on social media, it's more chicks that are open about watching 90 Day Fiance. But I know dudes would enjoy the shit out of that show because that shit is hilarious.
My homegirl put me on shit. I'm watching this. I'm like, what the fuck are you watching? So I watched like one, two. I'm like, oh, this is the okie doke. Like, he's trying to get money from homegirl, and homegirl's trying to fucking fade on him. Like,
oh, what?
When you understand that, like, oh, I get it. Then I got
that's into fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
the dude, what is it? I think the dude was with that Brazilian chick, and he was like, he made her get a pregnancy test, an AIDS test, and all that shit.
Oh.
And then the nigga had like chlamydia or something.
Yeah. I ain't gonna front. And you guys know this guy, and I stopped watching this show particularly because once his scene came on with Issa Rae, I'm like, I can't watch the show. I'm done.
Oh,
you
can't. Reggie,
I can't watch. Nah, man. Come on.
Yo
man, you Reggie, can't cover his fat ass. Like, what would you want?
Nah, man. That was the most hilarious thing I've ever seen.
It's representation, y'all. Like, don't you want
to
see more?
Nasty to me. I could have died laughing. Like, I could not stop laughing when I saw those scenes. Yo. Like, I was pissing my pants because it's Reggie. And it's just like, oh, no.
My eyes were already used to that shit because I brought Reggie and Ian on the road with me one time. When we play a video game, we look over and they're like, what the fuck are you doing? He was like, oh, I was getting dressed. He was like, ew, nigga, your body is disgusting. This nigga looked like somebody took Play-Doh and they made it into like a square and then they threw it on the ground.
Oh,
like they
man.
Just took it from high up and was like,
so it's like still got like two corners,
yeah,
but everything else is like, it's just like his shoulders is it, and then it's just,
yo, Reggie don't
round and Play-Doh-y.
Yo, there were a couple girls like, yo, oh, this shit's so funny, blah, blah, blah. So, yo, I know one of the comedians that slept with Issa, like, oh, he's mad funny and cute. And I send the DMs to Reggie, like, yo, tell him what's up. I want to get them pregnant. I'm like, come on, man. You're my coworkers. Why would you do that?
But this is my coworker. Reggie is mine.
Yeah.
That's what he does. Reggie is a dirtball. That's why I love him so much.
And you didn't hook Reggie up? You didn't give him the number?
Nah, I'll bring him to a show when we get out of this shit. But
don't worry. Well, hook Reggie up. This girl think he cute. He ain't going to get him pregnant. He's in Philly working out. He can't. He got a girl. He good.
He ain't working out. You think Reggie's working out?
Yeah, he's working out. He's lifting weights and shit.
Oh, that's good for him.
Yeah.
Damn. I don't know how long it's going to last, but he's been doing them.
Right now, it's good for him, going. Man. Right now, yeah.
Good dude, man. He's a good dude.
Come on. You got to give fat dudes a chance, yo.
I know,
you
man.
You fat dude. Give yourself a chance.
Yo, on, high man. School, yo, fat dudes were
another
cleaning
another fat
up.
Guy hitting on another fat guy.
Yeah. High school, Reggie used to clean, not Reggie, but high school, fat dudes used to clean up. They had all the bitches.
Yeah,
it's easy, man. It's easy.
Even in South Jersey, they did.
Especially going into a fucking supermarket, like, are you hungry? And that's our line. No matter what, you hungry, you want to grab some food?
Mm-hmm.
Girls like, yeah.
Chicks love eating.
Do they?
Chicks love eating.
And y'all make them feel comfortable. That's the thing. Like, fat dudes make women feel comfortable because they know you ain't going to run off because they can still catch you. They can still catch you. You stationary. a skinny nigga aerodynamic. He out. He like, pew.
You a whole paperweight. I ain't got to worry about nothing blown away. Stay
stability.
Okay,
stability.
He got goals.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's so far, Brian.
Oh, this is funny. You guys are hysterical.
Ooh. Hey, man, that's all Monroe. I just laughed the whole time. That's the thing. Monroe,
why you putting it on me? It's called fucking. It's a podcast. We're co-hosts. It's equally.
No, we you sit them up. I knock them down. I set them up. You knock them down. Like, it's good.
I don't know. I think it's equally yoked. Remember that? That's a word I'm starting to use more because I'm getting old. Yoked.
Yoked. Other than meaning working out, it's like you know, sharing.
Equally yoked.
How do you guys, so, and so help me understand more, like, because.
What up, man?
About.
What's up, bro?
I got to eating these grapes.
Comedians' next phases of. In this times, like, how do you guys deal with this as far as like being creative and
I'll let Derek go first.
No. Yeah, what challenges you guys are facing? I mean, obviously you're not going into a comedy show or venue performing.
Oh, yeah, well, you can pretty much sit in your own pity, right? There's that, I miss the stage, I miss being, I. But then this Zoom thing, it's starting to be advantageous for a lot of people. It helps me write a whole bunch. I've been writing a whole lot of stuff down because I got to dig into my own mind and really try to really work some shit out. And I do a lot of FaceTime with a lot of other people. So it's like you cope by just going, what else can I do other than comedy? So I'm barbecuing a lot. I cook a lot of food. You know, I have no problem with I like outside now because before my skin was messed up, but I've been taking medicine while I've been in the house. Mm-hmm. That helps my skin feel better. So like I really like the sun. So I'm always like, oh my God, just, you know, I never really enjoyed it because my skin was always itchy. So now I do a lot of sunbathing. It's a nice day. Yeah. Just sitting outside, listening to music, a lot of hip hop, a lot of underground MF Doom shit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm listening to now.
like a lot of transy shit, like a lot of like not trans as in trans, but like put you in a trance, should I say? But I don't know.
It's like I'm listening to a lot of trance music.
Trans music. Well, what is that?
I don't know what that is, but like,
it identifies as it identifies as rock, but it's really rap.
Yeah.
And, I don't know.
That's hilarious. I don't give a fuck. That was fucking hilarious.
Anyway, but now, and my bro's married, so he got a whole, like, it's me and my family. I know my mom, my aunt. We know each other. So this is, it's just like, it feels like high school over here. I'm trying to go home. I'm trying to go back to New York, but I'm fine. Cook a lot.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
How about you?
Same kind of what Derek said. It's just learning how to. It's not learning, but just using other facets of creativity, mm-hmm, and yeah, like this thing, this quarantine definitely made me realize that you kind of like handicap yourself when you don't work at all things at the same time. When you're when you're not working on your podcasting at the same time, you're working on your stand up, and you should be working on your writing. You should be working on everything at the same time because you don't know like when shit like this is going to happen. And you don't want to start from behind the ball. And that's what I've been doing. I've been working on editing. I've just been like self-producing shit, putting stuff out, and just focusing on that.
And auditioning. Yeah. And I will say I'm auditioning for a lot of cartoons now.
Yeah.
So, because you can send voice recordings because they don't need, you don't need to come into the office for that. So they'll send me cartoons to read for. And I've been doing that. Like I got to do one today. I got to make a tape. So yeah, that. So just the other work.
Yeah.
Don't get bed sores. No, don't sit there with your thumb in your ass. Just try to do something.
Yeah. I think for us, a lot of creatives, whether a producer, DJ, comedian, actor, anyone that has dealt with those type of creative spaces, or they could create other things besides being visual, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, giving your voice over to for the cartoon, stuff like that. DJ, you don't like some DJs are going live and some of them not even doing it right or perfecting it. It's just like them in front of a camera and DJ. I'm like, I don't want to see that. I don't. That's why I didn't want to do it. And it just looks weird. It looks corny. It looks abnormal. Like there's no experience. You're just seeing the DJ. I think besides D Nice and those guys who already have a name and have already doing it in a different way.
Yeah.
Like doing something different. And I don't know. I don't know if you guys experienced it, but for me, seeing DJs that never DJ, or I didn't know there were DJs, pop up on Facebook. I'm like, you're a DJ? Like, what the fuck? Like, it's like mad live streams. I'm like, what? And you go to their bio, like their name is Alfred Thomas, and they work at Kinko's, and they, you know, it's like, and they have five kids. Nigga, I'm like,
you a DJ?
You're gonna get a lot of that though. Right now is the time for people who were scared to really put themselves out there, and now they can just do it from the comfort of their own home and do it from a safety zone.
There's gonna be there's gonna be one come up story of that particular person, whoever it is, be like a DJ that makes a lot of money from that. He never DJ in the club, but somehow he made money off that, and he came up.
Yeah,
story. It has to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's going to happen is he's never going to do live appearances. It's always going to be like he's going to zoom in, and this is our guest DJ for the day, and that's how it's going to be. He's going to make music by staying his ass home and DJing in like a robe and some basketball shirts.
And he's gonna get donations.
And it's gonna be an EP. It's gonna be like the electronic drum music shit. It's gonna be like that. It's gonna be one of those DJs that's like boom, 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 boom. That's what it sounds like.
All bass drops. All bass drops. Just a bunch.
And those
of
DJs
drops
are the biggest in the world. Like those DJs who just fucking make noise. I don't hear the music in it. I'm not hating. I just don't hear the music. And I'm like, what is this shit? They're millionaires.
I don't get it. It must be a code in the music, in that music.
I don't get it. Shit. It has to.
There's no lyrics.
Ears.
There's no lyrics unless they sample like a Rick Ross, and then in the bass drop, like a some.
Weird shit. Boom, 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 boom. You know what it remind me of? That music you always see that playing like at Russian clubs and they're in the back talking business, and all the girls is doing this, and it's always that, it's always some, it's like Russia or like Ukraine, and that's how they just, they stomp to it, and they, people conducting business in back rooms.
And then a sniper comes in and sneaks in and fucking shoots them in the dinner. And now the whole club's like,
And it's running. It's all lights. It's a big light show, and everybody dying, but they're running through the lights. That's that kind of music.
You can't do that shit in like a hood club. Like, imagine scene.
They don't have the technology.
Yeah, but even that, like, if like one person gets shot, and then everybody just pulls out their gun, like, oh, nobody's fucking like scattering.
And somebody hit the lights. That's all they got. Turn the lights on. Huh?
Turn the lights on. Who the fuck did that?
Hit the lights real quick. Who did that shit? Who did that? It's a rent party. I was just y'all niggas want to be shooting. That's crazy.
Dude, Brian, where we at right now?
We're late. 5:10.
A little over an hour.
All right. Let's start wrapping this thing up. Man, was fun, man.
Yeah, man. It's been good, man.
Yo, where can people check you out?
On my Instagram at DJ Juanito, DJ JUANYTO. That's gonna be the main thing of me streaming anything new I got coming out. I've been working on a lot of stuff, but I can't release it because when you sign contracts, you can't say shit. So the new things I'm working on is another evolution of DJing and giving things, giving back to people, and creating a new legacy of just doing different shit. I always believe that if you always have the big DJs in the world, and you're trying to be bigger as them. The only way you do it, you got to do it something differently and influence a different crowd to be bigger. Like, you just always been like, think different, do different, but do it bigger and better.
Yeah.
So that's where my next thing is at. And then the podcast. Oh, Feed the Meter NYC on Instagram. Feed the Meter NYC on Instagram and Twitter. And we're going to start putting up podcast episodes pretty soon. Trying to figure that shit out, but other than that, man, just trying to stay active. And then I guess Legendary, man, that every Wednesday. Been absent the last 3 weeks, but that doesn't mean nothing.
Get back, bro. Get back.
I know, but the new thing I'm doing is taking up the time.
Can't do a damn thing. Oh, you all wrapped up in contractual shit.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Juan. You don't figure out yourself. That boy making business.
But tomorrow I'll be there, or whenever this comes. Every Wednesday, every Wednesday. I would be there with Petey and everyone else. Then shit, that's it, man. Yo, anything I could, like, in the next year or so, you guys gonna be involved in any type of like sitcoms, TV shows, something I could just watch and just like having
I can tell them now, but go ahead, bro.
What are you talking about? Tell them.
I'm on The Last OG on TBS Tonight Now. I'm on that show. I got a movie coming out June 12th.
I always wanted to see it. I never get catch. You know what? I don't think I have that on my.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix?
Yeah.
First two
seasons. You ain't got an excuse.
You know what? I remember Tracy came up for an interview and he played the first episode on his phone. There's videos of him playing it for us, but it's like, and this is before it dropped and we were just watching it. But we can't really hear it because Tracy's phone is all, it's.
Yeah.
And it's covered with his hands. We don't know where his hands been at the time.
Well, now you're home by yourself. Just put it on. It's on Netflix. It's two seasons out. Third season's out now on TBS. And I come back as my re-debut June 2nd. Come back on the TV screen. Derek Gaines, Jay Bird. So it's going to be great.
All right. Yeah, I've been bad watching TV as much.
Well, you just asked, nigga, anybody got TV out? I got TV out.
There you go.
Anybody got any TV out? No? Okay. Do you not have a TV?
No, I have a TV. I just haven't been watching much TV lately. That's all. All
right, cool.
I feel you.
Yeah. Trying to get out.
And bro, I watched the movie when the white lady was trying to be more PC, and she was trying to help y'all get that cab. That movie that came out.
Late Night.
Yeah, I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I liked it.
She was fun. She was cool. Everybody, y'all know where to find me. MonroeMartinComedy.com is my website. I have content up there. You should definitely check it out. I have a solo podcast called The Row Show. I have 6 Foot Nothing Show. I have Saturday Morning Cartoons. We got 6 Foot Nothing. We got No Need for Apologies on the site as well.
Make sure you check that out. Monroe Martin, I on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Make sure that you like, share, and subscribe to this podcast and go to our YouTube page and share it with your friends, your grandmom, your crush, your stalker, anybody you can.
All Ooh, of them.
Stalker. I like that.
Hey, man. Look, I'm Derek the Great Boy Games. That's where you can find me on Instagram at the Great Boy. This has been another
splendid. Hold on. Fantastic. And also, this Sunday at 9 o'clock, I'm doing the first installment of I've Never Seen This with Aaron Jackson, Rob Hayes, Lawrence Killebrew, Napoleon the Mill, and we're watching The Color Purple because I've never seen The Color Purple. And we're going to watch it. We're going to talk shit, and it's going to be a good time. And it's a 3-part series because the movie is 3 hours long.
Damn.
I don't have the attention span to sit through a 3-hour long movie. So we're going to break it up into pieces, and every episode is going to be a different comic, a different group of comics, a different group.
I'm on that next one. Put me on the fourth episode.
No, it's only three.
You
but
said
I got
three,
you.
But the next one you do, the next movie you watch that you ain't never seen,
yeah.
Make sure I'm on.
I hate long ass movies, man. It took me like 5 days to get through The Irishman.
Yo, I would never watch The Irishman. Like, I could just watch every other movie they've been in. It's the same fucking movies. How many times can they be fucking mafia guys? Like, can they be nurses? Can they, there any other thing they can be? Like, I'd rather see them as, like, fucking, like, nurses or army leaders or some shit. I'm like, I get it. You mafia.
De Niro as Iron Man. Fuck that.
Yeah, I want to see that shit. Just him talking to Jarvis. Is there fucking arguing to Jarvis?
Oh.
Yo, so make sure that you watch that. Make sure y'all register right now on my IG and go to my, and I post it on Twitter and all that stuff. So register. The show is free. Stop bitching. Sign up. Let's have some fun. Y'all been asking for content. Y'all been asking for shit to do. I'm giving it to you. So let's do it.